It's time to deep dive on the defence as we discuss the merits of a formation change. We ponder over the best Arsenal three and I run through my wild card. And for some reason, I let these two critique it. Wish me luck. Hi guys, Thursday as usual, FPL pod back with you, and I'm going to give you an early deadline warning because on occasion I forget to say the deadline. It's a Friday night deadline this week, so make sure you lock in your teams before the 6:30 deadline and of course listen to this podcast multiple times. Hello again to Sam and Jules. Busy week for you again, Jules.
Yeah, it was, girls, because it was Champions League on Tuesday and Wednesday, which a lot of things happened, really. Then we will have the Conference League and the Europa League as well Thursday night. So tonight as we record the show. So yeah, it's always good when, you know, the European games are back.
It is. It's a nice distraction from your FPL team, Sam.
Yeah.
Not in the form that Spurs were yesterday.
I meant for all of us, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I play Champions League fantasy as well. So all the fantasy games. I know, exactly. My Champions League fantasy team isn't going so well either. But it does give me an opportunity to own Harry Kane again, which is, you know, always nice. So there we are.
Before we go any further and discuss our FPL teams, go on, Jules, tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, so as I said, a lot of things happen, especially with the, you know, obviously with the English team. Let's start with Arsenal, who had a big win, 4-0 win against Atletico Madrid on Tuesday night. Vicky Gyökeres finally scored 2 goals after 9 games in all competitions without a goal.
Is this the start for Gyökeres? Sorry to interrupt.
It could be. Yeah, no, you're right. It could be, absolutely. I think there's a feeling that even if he does a lot of other things good for this team, you know, physically, the way he occupies the defense and things like that, he's a number nine that needs to score, you know, goals. So 9 games is a long time without a goal in all competitions, but to have two, the way he did in a very good performance from Arsenal, especially in the second half, I think was a big boost for him and for the whole team. We saw Gabriel being, again, outstanding on set pieces. To go back to our debate, should we go for Timber or Calafiori or Saliba? What Arsenal defender? Gabriel is showing, since we've had that debate, that he's really, really difficult not to own, really, because again, a goal and an assist on set pieces for him, that would have been a lot of points in your FPL if that had been in the league. So good night for Arsenal, a good night for Manchester City, pretty easy away at Villarreal with another goal for Erling Haaland and one for Bernardo Silva. We saw John Stones being back and doing well. Marguiu score, which tells you a lot about how bad Ajax are this season, in a massive win for Chelsea B team, because there was 10 changes made by Maresca. Estevao also scored, Tarek George also scored. We saw Wesley Fofana on the pitch too. It was a good night for Newcastle as well, at home, with Gordon and Barnes both scoring against Jose Mourinho's Benfica. No Tonali, no Joel Linton from the start, which was interesting. Good rotation from Eddie Howe. I guess the biggest news was Mo Salah being benched by Arne Slot in the Liverpool win away at Frankfurt 5-1. Big win without Salah for 80 minutes or so. No Alexis McAllister from the start either. So if you own those players, what do we do now with Mo Salah if he starts being dropped for Champions League games for the second time in a row by his manager? But we saw Ekitike scoring, Isak coming off at halftime with what looks like a groin injury. So again, if you own Isak, this was not good news on Tuesday, because one, he didn't score, and two, he seemed to be injured. And Wirtz finally getting some return with 2 assists, although the second one, as you know, a bit dodgy. And then finally, just for Sam, Spurs were very average, but somehow managed to leave Monaco with a point in the Glen Hoddle derby.
Wonderful.
They kept a clean sheet, you know.
Very true.
Very true. And a reminder, we are recording this as always on a Thursday morning. So Villa, Forest and Palace have got to play in the Europa League and Conference League ties this evening. A wonderful roundup. And I'm probably going to get in trouble, aren't I, for interrupting the roundup? You're not allowed to do that, are you? I think we're meant to just give Jules the stage.
But
I just, I didn't catch much of the Arsenal game. So I just wanted to know what you thought of Gyökeres. And
it was a good question. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. I sometimes ask them. Let's move on to how we got on in the last game week with FPL in the Premier League, of course. Firstly, sorry, Sam, to go to Jules again, but I think we've both got to say hats off to you, Jules, for a brilliantly played bench boost. What made you play it in the end?
Yeah, we discussed it a little bit last week. I thought game week 8 or 9 was good for the fixtures that, you know, my players all had, especially the ones that are usually on the bench, hence obviously the bench boost. But it felt like it was good for Burnley at home to lose, for example, with Estev. I could not really choose 3 of my 4 defenders, because initially I wanted to play with the three. I didn't want to not play Nicole Riley, for example, because again, City at home to Everton, you knew he was going to play. You knew he was probably going to be quite attacking because of the opposition or the style of the opposition. So I didn't really want not to have Nicole Riley somewhere there, but I also wanted the usual ones, Van de Ven and Gay and Timber. So I thought this is probably the best time to play. To be fair, this game week now, 9, looked decent as well for my players. But he felt 8 was good, although the keepers let me down a little bit because neither of them really did that well, Pope or Petrovic. But in the end, it was really good. I had 22 points on the bench, especially Nicole Riley and Estev, just 20 points between the two of them. So I know you were gutted because you texted me on Saturday and saying like, what? And yeah, it was to be fair, it could have been a little bit better even if one of the two keepers had done well, but 85 points with the bench, which I was super happy.
I text Jules late on Friday night to say, do you think Calafiori will start for Arsenal? He said yes, and I still busted a gut to get Timber into my team. Should have listened to him. And then I text again on Saturday because I noticed he played the bench boost, and wow. I'm sorry, but Sam, if I get over 10 points, if I get double figures on a bench boost, I'm happy. That is a brilliantly played chip, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good one. And I must admit, I was looking at it like, oh God, this is going to be a monster score now.
You
and
nearly
then he'll
did
be
yours,
intolerable.
Didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I came very close to it. I really didn't fancy playing Stack. I just was like, oh, I don't fancy Leeds against Burnley. I actually think that Burnley will win that game because they did it against Sunderland and I had two Leeds players on the bench and I was like, I don't really fancy Stack. I don't really fancy Goodmanson. Plus the Alderete, will he, won't he, was kind of going on in the background as well. So I was like, And then what decided it in the end was that I wanted to go Stack to Caicedo. And then Caicedo took a price rise, so I couldn't afford to do it. So I was like, well, that's kind of ruled that out. So in the end, we'll just roll it through and then I'll make a decision ahead of game week 9 and a possible bench boost for this week. More on that later. And I think in the end, it was probably the wrong decision because I had Dubravka and Alderete.
You had 18 on your bench, didn't you?
18, wow. Yeah,
so it was probably the wrong decision because obviously Dubravka did very well, Alderete did well, Goodmanson got one, Stag got two, but I would have ended up probably changing one of them out anyway. So probably was the wrong decision unless it goes well when I play it and then we'll find out. But yeah, it was a bit of a frustrating one in the end. And looking back on it, I think I regret not playing it last week because it was always my intention to do it. But equally, I'm like, well, I didn't feel comfy. So if you don't feel comfy, then just don't do it, I guess.
54 points overall. How do you feel about your team in general?
The problem... Generally speaking, they're doing well, right? It's been since the wild card, it's been a really good few weeks. It was a very, very small red arrow this week, like very small. So I'm not too worried about that. I think it's recoverable this week anyway. I like the fixtures for my team this week as well. I've now got 4 free transfers as well. So there's plenty of opportunities.
It's a mini wild card.
I know. Yeah. So there's plenty of opportunities to kind of change things up. And maybe what happened in the Liverpool game last night gives me the opportunity to free up some money, which would enable me to improve that bench ahead of a bench boost. That's kind of where my thinking is at the minute. So I do feel like I'm in quite a nice spot, despite where my overall rank is right now. The fact that I've got these free transfers and the chips still to play, and I can use those transfers this week to make sure that my team is set up better for the next few weeks. Because even since wildcard, I do feel like now I have more information about the players that I want to have. When I wildcarded, I set it up with let's get the most expensive I can in each team so that I don't have any problems if I need to jump around. Whereas now I know the ones I do and I don't want. So I think it's quite a nice spot to be in right now.
Yeah, I got 57 points. I kept Mohamed Salah. I noticed that the Premier League put out the clip about whether I should sell Salah and every single person was like, wrong week, wrong week, wrong week. Well, guys, it would have been the right week, wouldn't it? But yeah, spoiler, I have finally wildcarded. It was about time. I'm still glad I didn't do it last week. But yeah, it was time to get rid of Mo Salah. I'd got Anderson, who's got an injury. I wanted to double up on the Arsenal defence. I need Bukayo Saka. Wanted a whole Haaland aside, different front lines. So I finally hit the button and I'll talk you through where I'm at with that. It's not completely done yet, but I'll talk you through where I'm at with my wildcard team very soon. Okay then, just a word on the FPL Pod Mini League. A new leader again, Chris Hart and his team Heartless FC have gone from 4th to 1st, used his wildcard chip, got him 81 points. Timber, Munoz, Gabriel, Saka, Semenyo, Haaland as captain and Volta Marda all got him returns. However, he did bench Dubravka, of course, because that was Nick Pope's clean sheet was lost late on in that game. Ahmed Al-Mahdi is also on the climb this week. He went from 10th to 2nd, 6 points behind Chris. It's so competitive at the top. Shout out to Rajat Sharma in 6th and Rubaiyat Wahab in 7th. Both of them made the 100 club this week. Rajat played the bench boost, getting 107 points overall, moving from 196th to 6th, not the other way. And Rubaiyat played the wild card, getting 109 points, moving from 253rd to 7th spot. Yeah, if you haven't joined yet, guys, the code is XY6XPL. Okay, then. We've spoken a lot, haven't we, about informed players and essential players over the last few game weeks. Haaland and Semenyo, I think, have come up in this conversation a lot. Still, though, it's the defenders, isn't it, Sam, that are standing out. It is the defenders that the top managers in the world are getting the points from, and there is a bit of a shift. People are going with four at the back, and it's not something that we've seen traditionally in FPL in recent years.
No, so it used to be, didn't it, about four seasons ago, we all were going big at the back. It was like, right, you've got to have Trent and you've got to have an Arsenal defender or two or three, depending upon what your strategy was. But you had to spend big. Gvardiol as well was in those conversations. You kind of had to spend big. What's interesting this season is that you don't have to spend big, but you do have to play four at the back. Mm-hmm. So the four at the back strategy, and to be honest, when I was looking at the numbers for the defences, I was like, why haven't I not played four at the back yet so far this season? Like every week I've played three at the back, and I think it's just the mindset of the last few seasons that's been like, well, three at the back is the best strategy because then you get to play the attackers, you should always back the attackers. But this season the points that I have benched have nearly always come from a monster haul from a defender. So I think it's teaching us that we need to be more aware of playing our defenders, including our cheap defenders. Like, this isn't just a you have to play Gabriel. And I think that's why in the past we played four at the back, because we had these four premium defenders. So of course, if you spent money on the premiums, you're going to play them. But this season, it's like, well, you might have two or three premiums, but even the cheaper ones, the Gahees, the Lacroix, the Richards even from Palace, even like the Alderetes from Sunderland, like there are weeks where you should be looking to play your cheap defenders as well as your premium ones.
Yeah, it's tough actually, because as I said, I'm on wildcard at the moment. And I'll be honest, the first thing I did was get the three forwards in that I want in Haaland. Yeah. I'd already got Haaland, Mateta and Voltimada. They're the three standout forwards at the moment. But then I'm having to go, well, actually, I could go for Krupe Jr. at Bournemouth. Spoiler, this is one of the kind of headaches I've got, because then I can put more of that money into the rest of my team, potentially my defence. Jules, you recently played your wild card, and I imagine that those high-scoring defenders were a large reason you played your bench boost last week as well. How are you feeling about the kind of spread of funds and how much emphasis we should put on defence?
Yeah, I think for, you know, the first time in a long time, I think we need to think quite hard about those defenders, because there's so much choice and so good, and some are, you know, outstanding. We mentioned Gabriel or Tim, the Arsenal defense right now is the best defense in the whole of Europe, not just in the Premier League. So they make sense. But behind them, you've got so many options. If you look at that top 13 players with the most points, all positions combined together, 10 of them are defenders, but you've got very different profiles, teams from Bournemouth with Senesi to Burn at Newcastle to Munoz at Crystal Palace. You've got Mukiele at Sunderland. You've got obviously the Arsenal boys who are heavy there, Gabriel, Timber and Calafiori. Gehi is there too. Alderete is there to go alongside with Mukiele, because those teams have been really good defensively and those players have been good. And Defcon obviously has changed the whole dynamic, let's be honest here. If suddenly you could have two more points for your midfielders or your forwards for, I don't know, touches in the box, for example, then that would be a massive shift as well on how many points you could get and your players could get. So I guess it depends a lot on also the opposition. If you play a back three or back four, or even a back five, if you have five really, really good defenders and they've got good fixtures, why not going for a back five? So it still depends a lot on who they face, those defenders, because as we saw last weekend, they're... 2 weekends ago, I think, there's still weekends with no clean sheet or just one team that doesn't concede, and that's it. So in terms of clean sheet, I don't think it's a much better season overall than the previous ones in the Premier League. However, those defenders still rack up the points. So it's become, huge, I would say, because you're right, the front three right now, I think if you ask a lot of the managers, 80% will say the three that you've picked, Kelly. Really, let's be honest, they are the three best options. So I think the difference could be really with the defenders.
So of the top 13 scoring in the game, 9 of the players are defenders. And if you include Roofs, who's a goalkeeper, it makes it 10. It's only Haaland, Semenyo and Caicedo, who aren't defenders, who make it onto the list. So you go Haaland, Semenyo, then you've got Gabriel, Timber, Gehi, Calafiori, Roofs. I could go further on. Sam, it's tough, isn't it? Because it doesn't feel natural to want to pick them. And in the past, on a wild card, I'll always downgrade a defender yep. to put into my attack. But it feels like with my team, I had to go Haaland and Semenya, who I already had, so it didn't matter. Then do the defence and then do everything around it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Voltamada and Mateta front line is actually helpful in some ways because you're not having to afford an Isak or even a João Pedro now, who's obviously a little bit more than those other two. So that is kind of helpful. But I do think that, you know, when you look at the cheap midfielders as well, like the fact that Caicedo is in there as, you know, one of the top scoring players in the game, and we saw him score again in the Champions League, like he's just like constantly scoring goals, but he's constantly picking up DEFCON. And I think that's the point that Jules made before is really important. Like the DEFCON situation has massively shifted the way that we should be looking at the game. Like even last week, Saka, no attacking returns, but he gets DEFCON and he gets bonus points as a result of it and ends up on 7. Like the DEFCON situation massively shifts the way that points are allocated and the way that we look at these players, because that front line, if you can't afford to have the front three that you're talking about, Kels, then going down to somebody like a Guiyu or a Kroupi Jr. in that spot, like I'd rather burn that slot now than if you've played your bench boost already, than I would burn a defender slot, because the defender slots feel quite important, because as Jules said, some weeks we get no clean sheets really, but you can then rotate those cheaper options. But I do think we should be starting to really consider playing just 4 at the back every week. And if you play 4 at the back every week, that means that you've either got to bench one of your forwards, which maybe you're happy to do, as well as a midfielder, or you've got to play 4-3-3 and then you're benching 2 midfielders, which, you know, given they're the ones getting DEFCON, maybe that's not something we really want to do week on week.
It looks like from the team that I'm building, I will be doing 4-3-3 just because I've got those 3 forwards who are in brilliant form at the moment. And like you said, it's too scary to bench a defender. And also, so one of the other headaches I had was not knowing whether to play with the Arsenal defence. Timber I already had, I got him in last week. Then it's like, well, I knew I needed to get Saka in, so where does my other Arsenal slot go? Because I think we're all in agreement that we need to have 3 Arsenal slots. For a while, I was going to have Raya, but Raya is really expensive. I think he's up to 5.7 now, isn't he? And that just feels incredibly expensive for a goalkeeper. But I thought about doing Raya because actually then I can have a defender. There's some good 4.5-ish defenders, and then put the money into Raya. But actually, no. Gabriel is going to offer me so much more. And although he is expensive, he's up to 6.4 now. The upside isn't just his clean sheets, it's his DEFCON, it's his goals as well. So it's actually 3 routes to points, whereas Raya really only kind of has 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. So I haven't got great team value, which is another kind of conversation I think we should have with wildcards and when you should wildcard in the season, because I don't regret not wildcarding before now, because I managed to get the players I wanted on the whole before now, just by being a little bit clever. But actually, the one thing that's really killing me with my wild card is team value. And all of a sudden, if I take out 12.3 million in Gabriel and Timber in 2 defenders, that feels unnatural, but it also feels essential as it stands. Would you say that you have to, if you're on a wild card now, they should be the 2 of the first names on kind of your team sheet, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. And again, we've had the debate for the last few weeks now on which Arsenal defender to pick if you just wanted one. The cheaper one in Timber, but Gabriel is in such an incredible form right now, especially also on set pieces, that if you are playing your wild card, I think you have to have him, really. So then you decide who is your, and Saka too, so you decide who is your 3rd Arsenal player if you want 3 in your squads. And the most obvious one is really to go for another defender. So is Timber or Calafiori really more than my boy Saliba, I think, who has done really well. He's just not in terms of points at the level of the other 3, really. And we've explained enough before what Timber brings to this team, more than Calafiori. But still, Calafiori is also racking up the points. So Gabriel and Timber, for me, are the best combo that you can have of Arsenal defenders. And then you add Saka, and then I think you're done. Perfect.
Yeah, so it feels like if you are on a wild card, they were my first 4 in, the 2 Arsenal defenders, Haaland and Semenyo.
Yeah. I think even if you're not on a wild card though, Kels, those three Arsenal picks should be your priority. Like, I've got two because I didn't really know where I wanted the third to be at the point where I did my wild card a couple of weeks back. It was like, well, is it going to be Jokeres or is it going to be the double defence? Or is it going to be Eze? Like, who knows? Is it two attackers, two defenders? Whereas now I feel like we are very clear that it's two Arsenal defenders that's the way to go. And I agree with what you said before. I don't think it's Raya. There's no real upside for him. He doesn't really get save points. He's not really earning the bonus points because Arsenal are doing so much other good stuff everywhere else. So his route to points is there's like a ceiling. He gets two or we get six and that's the end of it. Whereas Gabriel and Timber, you kind of feel like, well, even if the clean sheet goes, they might yet get an attacking return. They're probably going to get DEFCON as well. So there's plenty of upside for them. So I think whether you're on a wild card or not, targeting the double Arsenal defence feels, I think I would say the word essential at this point.
Okay, let's just talk about who we think the best defenders are then, because if we are going to go with defenders that we're going to play week in, week out, maybe we need to pay a bit more attention to which players we have. So we've already, so there's five obviously defender slots. So we're going with Gabriel and Timber. And then the three others, there's quite a lot of value. And this is something, again, that I've really struggled with. I already had Senesi, so I would stick with Senesi. Is he still in the best five defenders, do you feel like, Jules, that we should have?
Yeah, I think so. 5 million is still a very good price for a defender. When you mentioned Gabriela, 6.4 now. I think Senesi is good. I think his partnership with Diakite has been very good for Bournemouth after the departure of three quarters, obviously, of their defense last season. I think he's a good pick still. With Bournemouth, as we saw against Crystal Palace, there will be games where they concede goals because of the way they play, right? They are a high-pressing, high-intense team that if that press doesn't work as well as it should or is not as efficient, then they will concede goals. And to be fair, they could have or should have conceded more than three away at Palace last weekend. So, but that's again, inevitable. And we said you don't get those players now because, apart from the Arsenal boys, because they are like the kings of clean sheets, really. Because as we said, there actually are not that many teams that keep them on a regular basis. The next one, I believe, Sam, maybe is probably Newcastle, who's done really well in terms of not conceding goals. So you can go for Burn, you can go for, you know, Botman now or Chao or Trippier, whatever. But really, it's not just on the clean sheets that you're going to decide who to pick. So yeah, I think Senesi is good and he's a threat on set pieces too.
Yeah, he is. One thing to be aware of with Bournemouth, they've got Forest at home this weekend, then it is Man City away, so he will be sitting on my bench that weekend, I think. And then Aston Villa away, I'd probably still play him. There's not many fixtures where I wouldn't play him just because of the DEFCON and the upside that I think there is in him. And also lots of people own him. That's the other thing that I'm always very aware of.
They probably get DEFCON against Man City, Kels.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they'll attack.
Yeah, very true, actually. Who else, Sam, would you throw into the mix? We've done three there.
Yeah, I'm with Jules on a Newcastle defender. I think whichever way you want to go, like it might be that actually you want to go Pope as your Newcastle defender, and then that's
he's
okay.
Expensive
like, have him
now.
In goal.
All of a sudden, he's quite hard to get in. Again, another spoiler. We'll come onto my wild card in a moment, but I've really struggled to get him in, and as it stands, I don't think I can.
Yeah, in which case, then Dan Burn feels like the best next option. And again, this feeds into what I was saying before about the fact that it doesn't have to be four premium defenders, because Dan Burn is going to behave like a premium defender when you look at the fixtures that Newcastle have and how solidly they've been playing defensively so far this season, and the fixtures are really nice. So I think he probably feels like the pick there if you can't afford or don't want to afford.
He's 5.1 though. Sorry, can you tell that I don't have great team value, so I've had a lot of headaches on my wild card? But yeah, no, he's a lot cheaper than the Arsenal defenders, though, I take your point.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you get two Arsenal defenders in, they're going to cost you in and around the 6 million-ish bracket. So probably around 12 to 12 and a half, depending upon which two you go for two of them. Then if you're looking at kind of a 5-ish million Newcastle defender plus Senesi, who's expensive, this is why you've got to save some money elsewhere across the rest of your team. So you're probably looking at a Creepy Jr. or a Giyu or a Josh King maybe as one of your midfielder picks, in order to save that budget. But you do have to think about the bench boost if you haven't played it as well. I think I'd still go for a Crystal Palace defender as well, despite the fact that it's Arsenal in game week 9 and that's difficult. I think after that, you look at the fixtures, you look at their attacking threat from the likes of Munoz, who since I sold him when I wildcarded has just been incredible. And I'm like, it's typical, isn't it? But he looks great. If you don't want or can't afford him, then you could go for Gehi. He also looking fantastic. Lacroix, if you want to go there, if you want to go super cheap, because your team value is not great, Kels, then Richards is fine and he's going to pick up DEFCON and, you know, he's going to give you a route into that Crystal Palace defence, which is going to be tough if you've got low team value.
Yeah, okay, I agree. The other names
also, there's those Sunderland boys as well that we mentioned briefly earlier, Mukiele and Alderete. And I never said, and Mukiele is one of mine, he's Paris born and bred, so, but I would have never said at the start of the season that come the end of October-ish, end-ish of October, those two players would be in the top 13 of, you know, FPL best players with the most points, really. And Sunderland's fixture list is going to get much harder than it's been so far this season. So if you're thinking about one of them two at 4.1, you can easily get them. They can stay on your bench in the tough games because they will have Chelsea, they will have Arsenal, they will have Liverpool, they'll have Bournemouth coming in the next five weeks or something. So it's going to get much tougher for Sunderland. But yet, so far, the start of their season for both Mukiele and Alderete is just incredible.
Unreal.
And they're both lowly owned because they're less than 10%.
Yeah, and around 4 million, there is a lot of managers, myself included, who will need one, maybe two players of that value. So they do offer really good value. My defence as it stands, but maybe I should run through the whole wildcard team to maybe explain why there's not quite as much money still in this. So I'm struggling with the goalkeeper. I'll mention, I've currently got Petrovic just due to value. It worries me a little bit that I'll be doubling up on the Bournemouth clean sheets because I don't think they're going to keep heaps. They don't keep heaps. The benefit of Senesi for me is that there's so much upside with him. That's the reason I have a Bournemouth defender. So yeah, Petrovic is in there at the moment just because of value and, yeah, not having enough money. Then I've obviously got Gabriel Timber, Senesi, Mukiele, and then Rodon is in there. But that's two defenders priced at 4 and 4.1 million. I would like to upgrade them, but I need to sort out my midfield slots to enable them. And this goes back to what I was saying before. I mentioned that I'm not worried that I didn't wildcard, but there definitely is now. When I've come to wildcard at this point, it makes me go, there is a reason to wildcard earlier in the season to really help your team value. Because if you leave it as long as I do and have had players kind of on your bench that haven't been doing as well, their value drops and drops, like sort of Guillou and players like that, then it makes it a lot harder to do a wildcard. My value is, I think, it's between...
Kels, you only have to look at yours is 100.6, your team value.
Yeah, it's now Jules up to... 101.3 or something now, I think, yeah.
Because of the wildcard rises this week.
Yeah.
So Jules and I wildcarded at the same time. His team value at the beginning of this week was 101.3. Mine was 101.9. So it makes a big difference when you're going into the next few weeks when you're trying to buy players. Because when we were doing our wildcard a few weeks ago, obviously the Arsenal defence was cheaper, the front line was cheaper, like Votamada was cheaper if you went there. So it does make a difference. And it is one of those things that you do have to consider. Like, you can wait for information, but sometimes waiting just prices you out of things. Like the goalkeepers are a great example of that, because it wasn't that hard to get Nick Pope or David Raya at the point where we wildcarded into
game week 6. How much did you pay for Nick Pope at the time?
5.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. And 5 feels
right.
And
Raya was 5.5. So, you know, he's gone up by 0.2, and 0.2 is a lot extra to spend on a goalie.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and it's but again, it's one of those positions that we don't like spending too much money on. So it's really hard when you're forced into that position. Shall I talk you through the rest of my wildcard? I've still got a couple of drafts, as I said, because I'm still... I think I'm set. I've mentioned Kroupi Jr., but I think I'm pretty set on Mateta, Haaland and Voltamada. That was a large reason I wildcarded. I've got to go with my gut. I'm happy with doing 4-3-3. So they're my three forwards. My midfielders and the two that are definitely set are Saka and Semenyo. I've had Enzo in there all week as third, but I'm actually thinking that I might go Caicedo again because of budget, and there is a big difference between the two of them. And because likely most weeks I'll only be playing three, so I'll probably, I'd imagine, play Saka, Semenyo, and then that third one will often rotate, so I don't need to have the three best midfielders in the game. So one draft I've got has Caicedo, Reinders. I don't particularly want him, but I can't, again, he'll be on my bench a lot of the time. I've also got a bench boost, I should add. I can't find anyone else at that price point that is like 5.6 million if I sell him now. Like, who do I bring in at that price point? It's a really tricky one. And then I've got Anthony Gordon, but he's 7.5 million now. And I don't know if that's a little bit too much emphasis to put on the Newcastle attack. And I don't know if I'm just being blinded by the fact that he was brilliant for England. And as we all know, I like having those players. So, and I could go down to a 6.5. I could go for an Ismail Assar. I could, I haven't, this is a draft. I haven't actually yet sold Kudus. So that is.
Because you do have to think about that, because if you're going to play three in midfield every week, then you don't want too much money there, because you're going to be benching them every week. And apart from the 1 week that you can play your bench boost, you're just burning money if you leave it sat on the bench.
Well, that's why I looked at it and thought, oh, I actually quite like Sakho, Semenya, Gordon being my three. And then I can kind of, if Caicedo, like this weekend, they've got Sunderland at home. If Caicedo's got a really good fixture, I'll play him. If Man City, or actually they play for Chelsea and Man City and they're my two bench players, I don't mind if 1 week I look at it and go, I don't want to play four at the back. Do you know what I mean? So that's one of the drafts, or the other way I could do it. Hold on a moment.
To be fair, actually I'm just looking at the Newcastle and Chelsea fixtures. They rotate really nicely with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could do that. You could play Gordon some weeks and bench Caicedo, and then it's only game week 16 where they've got Sunderland and Burnley. Maybe that's your bench boost week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a couple of bench boost week options that I've looked at in there. But like I said, my team value isn't great. So that's what the other draft I have, by the way, is Saka and Semenya are locked. We've discussed them. Then I've gone Enzo. But I know that he's kind of going to play further forward, but he's 0.9 million more than Caicedo. Mm. And I just really struggle with spending that on a Chelsea team who are in brilliant form, but it feels like their points are shared around quite a lot and you don't always know who's going to get them. And then Reinders, and I've still got Kudus in there. Kudus has kind of been a holding position for another 6.5 because I could go across to I've got a bit of value in him, so I haven't sold him. I could go across to him and die Grealish, Saar. So yeah, those three positions are kind of where I'm up for grabs. Sam, go on, give me your thoughts.
No, I think the things you're saying making sense. I had a look this week at what the top 100 managers have been doing in the game, because I think what the top 100 managers are doing generally is something that we should actually pay attention to, because clearly they're the best managers in the game right now, right? So they, with the exception of game week 6, they've been on a strategy where they started the season with three at the back, game weeks 1, 2, and 3. And then by game week 4, they've pretty much consistently gone with four at the back as their main strategy. The only exception was game week 6. If you remember, that was the triple captain Haaland chaos week, which was different, and it was all about attack that week. So I think the fact that you're going on a wildcard strategy that's lending you towards playing four at the back makes absolute sense. And I think you're doing the right things by considering what that looks like, because so there's two ways of looking at it, right? There's the, I have loads of money on the bench and there's going to be inevitably therefore points on the bench, but at least I've got the right players and they'll gain team value.
Thing
and
is, I don't even have that much money on the bench, because if you look at it, like, I've got two cheap defenders. One of those will always be benched on the odd occasion.
Which
two
is
of them
fine.
Will be benched.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be benching a Reinders who isn't going to be, and then one of Caicedo. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to feel too bad benching them. It's not like I'm benching Bruno Fernandes or someone.
No, I think the worst one will be Caicedo. It might feel like you don't really want to bench him. He'll be the one that you're kind of looking at going, oh, it's going to be difficult. And you will have weeks where you inevitably have points on the bench. But I actually would prefer that. I'd prefer to have a situation where I'm struggling to know who to bench every week, because that suggests that your team is set up well. And actually, that's another thing. When you look at the top 100, they're often benching loads of points. Their team itself is doing well, the starting 11, but there's often points on the bench. And that's generally a good indication that actually your season's going quite well, as long as your 11's going well and you're not just benching all your points. That there's generally quite a good indication that you're on the right strategy and you're on the right players. It's just that you can't get all of them into your starting 11 every week. So I think looking at rotation, like Newcastle and Chelsea, I hadn't really looked at them for rotation, but that does look nice. Like, so you could go with the Gordon Caicedo combination and rotate them. I know you won't want to bench Anthony Gordon, because it's Anthony Gordon, isn't it? Be the same as owning Jack Grealish.
He's 7.5 as well, so it feels quite a lot of money. As soon as they go over 7, I'm like, oh, not comfortable with that benching.
No, exactly, because there is that reassuringly expensive thing, right? If you've got somebody expensive in your team, you're like, oh, I can't possibly bench him, even though maybe sometimes it's the right thing too. But that sounds good to me. I mean, I don't know about Kudus. It's really hard to know what to do with him, because every week I watch him, he should have hauled again on Sunday. I sat there and I was, and because I was there. And so I'm sat in the stands when Mickey van der Ven played that ball to Kudus, and then he finished it and eventually it got ruled offside. And I was like, are you joking, boys? Like, because that's massive, because I've got both of them. So like, I do think Kudus will get points, but I think Anthony Gordon over the course of the next few weeks, the fixtures are so much nicer for Newcastle than they are for Spurs. So I get that swap. And I even get the swap to Caicedo, to be honest, because it saves budget and you hit the better fixtures that Chelsea have.
And Caicedo is doing great too, Kels.
Really,
it's not
great.
Like if you know, you said no to Enzo and you get a guy that you're not really sure about. He's been amazing on the pitch and for us in the game too. And I guess the good thing that you wildcarding now is that you've got a really good idea of who's doing well, who is not, who's on the up, who is struggling, the fixtures come in. And now we have a really good idea of what has been, you know, who's been doing well in the league and who hasn't. And I think that puts you in a really good position to just pick the right players, the ones a bit like what Sam was saying for the top 100 managers. You know, they have the best squads because we know now really who should be in your squad, yep. Whether it's a bench player or not. You've got a really good idea of who the best 15 really to get if you can financially with your budget. And that's priceless, you know?
Yeah, I wanted Voltimada. I was very envious when you got him in, Jules. And I was almost not annoyed that Mateta got his hat trick, but I was like, oh gosh.
I was annoyed.
Yeah, I imagine you were. But I was like, oh gosh, because he's all of a sudden in red hot form. Like he's kind of almost unavoidable. So then I felt like I had to have both of them. But on the same day where we've seen Creepy Junior come up, I was like, oh, I'm going to have Voltimada, Haaland, Creepy Junior. And then save budget that can then go back into that midfield, can make me have a Caicedo that becomes an Enzo, can make me have just a little bit more, and in defence go for a Richards over a Rodon. And now I'm kind of caught with whether, then last night I was like, oh, maybe I should just go Anthony Gordon over Voltimada. And I was like, no, I wanted Voltimada from the start. Mm. I don't know if I'm just being blinded. And yeah, they're the main headaches I have at the moment, Sam, I think.
I'm not sure I would double up on the Newcastle attack.
No.
I think one is enough.
But
I think
which way do you
go
then?
Or the other. I think given your team and given the fact that in the mid, the problem with Creepy Junior is he's playing at the moment.
Because
and
of
so if you're planning,
yeah.
if you're planning to play a bench boost now, well, not now because you're wildcarding, but in the next week or two, you're probably okay. But after that, you've probably got an issue on your hands because he's probably not going to be starting.
Yeah.
So that's fine because you don't mind burning the forward slot because you're playing four at the back and that's fine. But it does make a difference when you get to a bench boost week. Now, you could go, well, I'm not worried about that now because I'm not going to bench boost until game week 16. And therefore, I'll just worry about that when time comes because my team value will be better. I can downgrade somebody else in order to upgrade them. Etc. etc. So maybe that's okay. Or maybe you go back to Giu because, you know, he started to get some game time. But then when Palmer comes back, we know Liam Delap is back ish, coming back soonish. Mm. So he'll probably be a problem for you further down the line. And that's the problem with the bench boost is that if you do want to play that anytime soon, then those two are going to be problematic. I think the good thing about Voltimada is he's cheap and he's in really, really good form. So I'd have him. And then the Anthony Gordon pick, I mean, there's so many nice 6.5 and under players in the midfield.
Who are the standouts then? This is what I've struggled with. I've gone between a few.
I think you've mentioned some of them already in your favourites, in Grealish and Ndiaye. I think, you know, both of them look really nice options. The fixtures are nice for Everton. You could stick with Kudus. The fixtures are very mixed for Spurs, but he is our best player by a country mile at the moment. So you could go there. If you are, I mean, you can't because you want to go for the double up defensively, but Declan Rice has got his hand up for being picked.
Definitely.
Is there any conversation we should have about Declan Rice being our third Arsenal, or do you think the defence is just too good? Because I also, if I could have a fourth Arsenal, he would be my 6.5.
Yeah, I think he's everybody's Arsenal fourth, really. And I think we're slipping on him. Because he's having maybe quietly an amazing season, both
really
for
good.
Us, yeah, both for us and in real life. Really.
We aren't sleeping on him though, are we? But because we just can't
we
get him in. We just
yeah,
can't.
But I was looking. I think his ownership is just 11% of managers, which it should be. When you think about it, it's just because the rest of this Arsenal team has been so good so far this season.
Yeah,
that he's only owned by 11%. Otherwise, he's straight into our team. The quality of his delivery again on Tuesday night in the Champions League was just incredible. And that plus the DEFCONs because he runs a lot and he's involved a lot and everything. And he will come in at some point with the odd goals, you know, on a rebound or something, or just making the right run into the box at the right time and he would get that goal. Yeah, it would be it's not a differential per se technically because 11% is just above, but still it would feel like one. So yeah, I think Rice is a great option at that price. you've got the likes of Doku as well, who you just never know, because one game he looks literally like a world beater, and the week after he just doesn't do that much. So it's one of those. But yeah, there's a few really good players around this 6.5, 6.0. Even Rodgers, if he picks a bit of form with Villa, 6.8, he's a good option.
And you've got Minter, who I think is a great pick as well at Brighton. I think he looks like a really nice option. And you've got Ismaïla Sarr.
But Sam, you look a lot. So I bought Minter in last week to fund Timber. And he's gone straight away. He's massively overperforming his expected goals, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So, yeah. But the fixtures are there. Like, if you look at the teams that they have coming up over the next few weeks, with the exception of Crystal Palace in game week 11, these are not defences that have been really that solid. So you've got Manchester United, who haven't kept any clean sheets. You've got Leeds, you've got Brentford in there, you've got Forest in there, you've got Villa, who are conceding despite finding some form. You've got West Ham in there. You've got, you know, there's plenty of opportunities for points up until game week 16. The other thing I would look at is trying to work out when your bench boost is going to go. And this is another factor that for me plays an impact, because if you know roughly when you want a bench boost, it gives you an indication as to which teams you should be targeting. So if you know that it's game week 16, for example, I probably wouldn't target Brighton because they play Liverpool in game week 16. So I'd probably leave them out. Whereas, I don't know if you want to, and the same with Crystal Palace, right? I probably wouldn't double up on Sarr and Mateta if you want it that week, because it's Man City for them. So it's probably using the fixture ticker to work out whether roughly, and you don't have to stick to it like gospel, but if you know roughly when you want to play your bench boost, it gives you an insight into which teams you should be targeting in order that you can kind of best plot your team forward and make sure that your bench looks okay for that week.
Okay, better move on, because I've just had a text to say we should be finishing now and we've still got two more sections. Differential of the week. The good news for you guys is we don't need to discuss how you both picked players that didn't return once again. Who have you got for us this week, Jules? It's quick fire.
I went for Danny Welbeck. The evergreen, ever young evergreen.
Fine
wine. Fine wine, exactly. Danny Welbeck on great form. Only owned by 3.2% of the managers. 6.3 million. So again, when we look at that third spot for your forwards with Haaland and Voltomado, for example, then I think at that price, is you have to look at him. They've got United away, but as we said, United have always considered a goal in the league this season. Then it's Leeds and Palace. He had 11 points against Chelsea, then 13 points against Newcastle last weekend. He's in great form. His XG per 90 is 0.6, so it's a really, really high number for a player that is wonderful. We've discussed him a lot last season. Remember when he had this very strong start of the season, and he feels like he's in form now. So yeah, Danny Welbeck for me.
Sam?
I'm going for Creepy Junior this week. So he is only going to cost you 4.5 mils, as you know, Kel, only owned by 2.4% of the game. We talked a lot about him this podcast. Evan Nilsson's got a small issue in his calf. So this is very much a this week and probably next, hopefully next, but definitely this. He looked phenomenal last week. He was so good. His first goal had an XG of 0.9585, which was really, really positive. Iriola was really positive about him after the game, spoke about him really well. He's got a great fixture this week against Forest. I was more wed to this before the change of manager at Forest. I think the change of manager obviously may have an impact. Whether it will have an impact that quickly or not, I don't know. But Forest are yet to keep a clean sheet so far this season, and they've conceded 15 goals, which only West Ham and Wolves have conceded more than Forest have so far. So I do think plenty of opportunities. I think when you've got the attacking players around you that Creepy Junior has, like in players like Senesi and Semenyo and these really nice players that Bournemouth have, I just think he could do really well this week. But be warned, if you go there, you're probably giving yourself a problem in the next few weeks.
Okay, I like both those two forwards that I haven't got on my wild card. Great. Transfers and captains. Who's the best captain, I feel, at this point with the form of Erling Haaland? We're all just perma-captaining him, Jules.
Yeah, I think so, really. They're away at Villa, which Villa, you know, in decent form, to be fair, although they will play on Thursday night, so one day less to recover compared to, or 2 days less, sorry, to recover compared to City, who would have played Tuesday in the Champions League. It's a bit the same, by the way, for Crystal Palace and Arsenal. Crystal Palace playing Thursday night, Arsenal played on Tuesday night before the game on Sunday. So two more games is quite a lot more of recovery time for one team compared to the other. But hey, that's the way it is in Europe. So yeah, I think Haaland, it just makes so much sense.
Sam?
It does make a lot of sense. I really, really, really wanted to go to Semenyo this week because the fixture's just perfect. But
the manager change as well.
The manager change. Yeah. So we were driving when the game finished, and I said to Lee, I was like, oh, I might go Semenyo triple captain next week. And then about 20 minutes later got the news that Postecoglou had been sacked. And I was like, no, cancel the triple captain. Let's wait and see who the manager is. And Sean Dyche is obviously defensively very solid. So it's put me off, but...
It's helped you in a way. It's just made you go, well, it's Haaland.
It's just made me go back to Haaland. Exactly. So now I'm just back with Haaland again, which feels boring, but is the sensible and right thing to do, I think.
And what about transfers then, Jules?
Well, I'm thinking doing Isak, who not just is not in good form, but also picked up that little injury in the Champions League for Mateta, probably. And then if I do that, the money that I save, I can get to Gabriel. So I've got two free transfers. Oh. It feels that it would be the perfect thing to do before Friday's deadline.
Isak's almost helped you out there to be able to fund that move.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, but quickly, I'm still gutted that first I trusted Wirtz at the start of the season thinking, guy is a genius, he's going to be great. And then I thought, okay, and there was still Salah in the mix. And then I thought, okay, this is going to be Isak. Surely somebody's going to come good. And no. So I think that's probably a good idea to do Isak for Mateta and then one of my defenders for Gabriel.
Sam?
Isak, but not for Mateta yet. Mateta can come next week. Yeah, I'll get Voltomada first because I prefer the fixture, and then I'll go for Mateta next week. So Isak to Voltomada, and then I'm going to upgrade Alderete to Gabriel and play the bench boost.
Oh, you are going there. Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice fixture for the rest of my bench. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I might even upgrade Stack at the same time because I've got four free transfers.
I was going to say, you've been a bit tight with your transfers.
Yeah, well, I haven't done anything for ages. I haven't even changed the starting 11 for ages. So yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. I'll make two, probably three. I'll probably change Stack for Caicedo and then bench boost it.
How can you be a full-time FPL content creator and not make any changes to your team?
Because my wild card was that good, girls.
That good.
Yeah, no, that's where I've been. So it's been one of those where I've been kind of like, wait for information. And I've been good, like the team's been going well. So it's just, this week is the chance to make some relatively big changes.
Okay, then a reminder, guys, it's a Friday deadline, 6:30 p.m., 90 minutes for West Ham's trip to Leeds. I'll be in the studio on the fancy show. I think it's Praz with me. Should have checked before this. If it's not Praz, sorry, but I'm pretty sure it is. Then Praz is also back on Monday on Off the Bench. Gianni also joining him to talk through all the points from game week 9. I'm off to go to a dark corner to finish this wildcard. See you later.